You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour two of the Joe Starkey Show. I'm Donnie Football in for Joe Starkey and Paul Zeiss this morning. City Limits behind the glass. IT back there helping us out as well. I didn't have the heart to begin the show in a negative direction by talking about the game last night. Speaking of your heart, heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. It's a great time to schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. Last night, a bit of a disaster for the Pirates, but I think, sadly, a predictable one, given what the Pirates' trends tend to be. Limits, I saw you sent a tweet about it, the Pirates scoring 12 runs on Tuesday night, having some fun in a ballpark that they don't get to have too much fun in. They beat the Brew Crew 12-2. And you could have almost guessed that last night they were either going to score 0, 1, or 2 runs and lose the game. And that is what happened. They lost the game 9-0.
I tweeted this in like the fourth inning. The Pirates have a strange ability to win a game by 10 runs and proceed to lose the next game while scoring no runs. Wild.
And we've seen that happen to them. I mean, we just saw it happen to them last week. They scored 14 runs against the Mets. They come back and the offense looks lackluster for a pair of games. They lost 5-2 and then 3-2 on Saturday and Sunday against the Mets. Then they scored 20 combined in the next two games. They beat the Mets 8-2. On Monday, then they beat Milwaukee 12-2 on Tuesday. Last night, just one where they got beat up. Sadly predictable. Maybe not the exact score, but the Pirates responding to that output of 12 runs by being shut out was almost sadly easy to guess. Tobias Myers for Milwaukee, the rookie, he started, and they made him look phenomenal. 8 innings, 4 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts, just over 100 pitches in the game. Brewers pitchers, by the way, facing just 4 batters over the minimum for the Buccos in that game. Former Bucco, Rob Zastrzynski, I always mess up his name, Zastrzynski, pitched a clean 9th inning. He was always a tough one. Martin Perez got beat up again by the Brewers' bats. 4 2/3, 9 hits, 5 earned, 3 walks, and 5 strikeouts. Not quite as bad as what happened 2 months ago. He pitched there on May 15th. 5 innings, 11 hits, 9 earned runs, 4 strikeouts, 1 walk, and he allowed 5 home runs in that game. He had to wear one that day. It was an ugly one back on May 15 in Brewersville. Combined for Perez in his 2 starts against Milwaukee this season, 9 2/3, 20 hits, 14 earned runs, 9 strikeouts, and 4 walks, and a total of 6 home runs given up by Perez in those games. For me, he has actually become maybe their most worrisome arm in the rotation. The veteran, crafty left-hander. He's had a handful of really good starts this season. And even as recently as his last start when he went into the eighth inning against the Cardinals on Independence Day. 7 1/3, one earned run against St. Louis in that game. He has had some, I would say, surprising outings, surprisingly good outings so far this season as just your run-of-the-mill veteran left-hander. His third start with the team, he went 8 innings against the Tigers. The start before that, he pitched into the 7th inning against the Nationals. He's had a couple of other 6 innings, no runs. But then he's been, once that calendar turned to May, it's been a little bit rough around the edges. Really, that start against St. Louis last week, the only one where he looked like the guy early in the season, because he has not really had any other start with the exception of 4th of July, where he has gotten through 6 full innings, and normally he doesn't even get that close. The most he has gone, besides last week, it was 5 1/3 against Colorado on May 3rd. He allowed 3 earned runs. He struck out 4, all on 8 hits. After that, 5 innings, 5 innings, 4 1/3, 3 innings, 4, 7 1/3, and then 4 2/3 last night. So he's had, a handful of some good starts early in the season, but he has had the most blow-ups of anyone, and he's been someone they have not been able to count on too much since the calendar turned to the month of May. He's dealt with injury in there, and that's a reason why some of those starts look a little bit funkier when it comes to how long he has pitched in those games. But you're just not really sure what you were going to get out of the guy. Skeens, for example, you can probably write him in for 6 innings today and less than 3 runs allowed, unless something goes wrong. Jared Jones, when healthy, pretty similar, I would say. You're going to get 5 or 6, maybe 7 innings out of Jared Jones. Mitch Keller, I would say 6, 7, maybe 8 innings, maybe a complete game once in a while from Keller when he's on his game. Hell, Luis Ortiz, he's been so solid this year so far, his ERA in the 2s, we can normally count on him for 5 good innings. Maybe it's not as the starter of the game. Now he has moved into that role due to injuries in the rotation. But sometimes as the bulk guy in an opener game, he comes in out of the bullpen, he pitches 5 or 6 innings, and it's normally solid work. The Pirates bullpen last night also allowing some runs. Brent Honeywell, 2+. He allowed 1 earned run on a couple of hits. He walked a couple of guys and struck out 1. Ryder Ryan, 1 inning, 3 hits, 3 earned, and 1 walk. So the pitching wasn't good, but it wouldn't have mattered if they all combined for 1 run because the Pirates did not score. In fact, in comparison to Milwaukee's 14 hits, Pittsburgh had 4 in the whole game, and 1 guy drew a walk. That was Jack Sawinski. Reynolds, Tellez, Palacios, and Triolo had the hits. Tellez, the only one with an extra base hit, he had a double in the 9-0 loss. This is also a chance for us to have a conversation, another conversation, about Ke'Bryan Hayes. Last night, another 0-for, 0-for-3, a strikeout. He hit into a double play. He is slashing this year just .229. His on-base is .287. His slugging is just .296. And his OPS is .583. That is awful. A .583 OPS for Ke'Bryan Hayes. His OPS plus league average is 100 when you look at that number. His OPS plus is 67, which is a career low. for Key Brian Hayes. A cornerstone piece, mind you, in this organization. A player that signed an 8-year, $70 million contract. And really, if he just gave them somewhat average offensive play, he would live up to it because that's how good his defense is. He is an elite defender. He already has one gold glove. He will probably have a couple of others to add to that trophy case, but I don't think he'll have any batting titles or silver slugger awards to add to that same trophy case.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking? I'm James Coe. Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we always have to worry about his back. We always have to have that fear, oh, his back flared up. Now he's going to be out for 2 more weeks. He's not a guy that has been able to consistently play an entire season or close to it because he has ongoing issues. But maybe he can go back to the guy that fixed his swing and fixed his at-bats last year and had him perform at the best level he ever has in Major League Baseball. Oh, wait, no, he can't do that because that guy got fired. So really frustrating to watch what Key Brian Hayes is doing right now. And I know the speculation out there. I know the thought out there of should he be part of a trade? Should they consider Key Brian Hayes moving on from that contract? The contract itself, like I just got done saying, the contract actually is not all that bad. If he even was an average offensive player, they would be getting a borderline bargain for what Key Brian Hayes is doing. Because you know you can count on the defense. The offense has just been awful from Key Brian Hayes in 2024. A few weeks ago when I was thinking of my biggest disappointments for the Pirates in 2024, fortunately for Hayes' sake, Henry Davis, I think, takes the cake there. A former first overall pick. Someone who was drafted 3 years ago. He came up last season. Not that he set the world on fire, but we earmarked this guy to be maybe a middle-of-the-order bat, somebody who could hit home runs in the mid-teens, maybe around 20. Maybe my expectations were unfair, but the guy was a former first overall pick. Now, he has been the biggest disappointment. Absolutely. And he's also dealing with concussion issues. Key Brian Hayes was the first name I actually thought of until I broke it down a little bit further. But that first name to pop into your head, it was Key Brian Hayes. He's absolutely on the medal stand. Could probably throw Jack Sawinski up there with him. I know some people will say that O'Neill Cruz should be up there with them. I don't really think he's in that class of disappointment this year. Hayes is absolutely up there. He has been a problem with how bad his offense has been. I mean, he had half of his extra base hits in like the first week of the season. He was tearing it up that first series in Miami, the first two series of the season. The Pirates start 5-1. Key Brian Hayes is on a tear. And it just completely fell off the wagon after that. Limits, would you consider a trade of Key Brian Hayes? Do you think we're actually getting to that point?
I think maybe from a mentality standpoint of Ke'Bryan Hayes not wanting to be here, possibly. The contract, as you mentioned, is very affordable, especially for the defense that he provides. There's also this notion, I think, that Jared Triolo is as close to a player as Ke'Bryan Hayes is offensively. I don't know if I believe that. I don't buy it. Triolo is somebody who does not have a lot of extra base hits. I feel like he does not hit the ball hard at all. But from a Ke'Bryan Hayes perspective, unless you're getting blown away with an offer, and I'm not talking about something that you'd receive for Brian Reynolds or like a very good player, the offer is going to be a lot lower than that. But whatever the standard would be for a Ke'Bryan Hayes deal, probably if you're getting like a top five prospect, two top five prospects back because of the amount of just financial stability that you have on that deal for a good defensive player, then I think you'd have to consider it. I still think that there's a good bat in there as long as he stays healthy, but that's the problem with the back injuries. Can you bank on it?
Yeah,
I don't know if you can.
It's just frustrating to me. We saw the guy figure it out last year. John Nunnally, the man who did so, he was let go by the organization, and we have seen Hayes' offense go to crap since then. And the back thing does worry me. It seems to flare up every now and then. He also does, and I'm not going to say he doesn't care about how he is performing. Some people, it just looks different when it comes to body language or facial expression. There is like an odd little like disinterest there sometimes when he is struggling the way he is. But I would agree with you. I don't think it should be so easy to just give up on him, because if he plays, again, just a moderate level of offense, he doesn't have to be the player you build your offense around. He's such an elite defensive player that you can count on for years to come on that side of the ball. You will get your money's worth and then some if he figures it out with the bat.
And on the level of disappointment, if you had to make a scale, like a top five in no particular order, I don't think Hayes is one or two. I mean, he's probably, is he a bigger disappointment right now than Jack Sawinski? Factoring in the contract, probably Henry Davis?
Davis.
Oldest Chapman?
Davis is definitely number one. Chapman, I guess I didn't really consider because this is probably a one and done for him
in
Pittsburgh.
For what they paid him to be.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to factor that in, then Chapman could definitely work his way up the totem pole. For guys that I actually think will be here for the next couple of seasons at least, Davis, without question, is number one. He's the gold medalist when it comes to disappointments this year. I think that it is closer for me with 2 and 3 between Sawinski and Hayes. We kind of knew what Sawinski was like as a hitter. We knew he had a lot of pop. You know, we're hoping that maybe he has the second half in 24 like his first half of 23. But we knew he wouldn't be somebody who hit for a high average. Really, if he hits around 200, I think you take that for Sawinski given what he can do with his power numbers. I just think given the way that the organization views Ke'Bryan Hayes, the way that they have invested in him, and they did so very early in his career, I do think that maybe outweighs what Sawinski has been as a disappointment. When you factor in, Hayes is viewed as a cornerstone piece of the organization. Sawinski, not so much. Sawinski can be a player that finds a role on this team if they get back to relevancy, maybe get back to the postseason. Hayes is supposed to be one of those players, I think, if they get back to that point, he's one of the reasons why they did so.
One thing on Sawinski, you know, for me, there's so many analytics, and it's paralysis by analysis with a lot of the things that we look at. For me, just watching Jack Sawinski and watching as many games as I do, he is not a good defender at all. He's not very good in the outfield. Mm-hmm. And I looked it up on Baseball Savant. He is in the second percentile in all of baseball, where 99th and 100th is the best. He is the second percentile in fielding run value at -8.
Oof.
He's a -8 defender. I don't even want to know what the defensive run saves, you know, equates to, counting him and what we've seen from Edward Olivares out in the field.
That's why they got Michael A. Taylor, baby.
Oh, yeah, to dive for balls. And, you know, what game was that that he lost them the game pretty much by diving? It was one of the St. Louis games.
Yeah, it was last week.
Guy got the second base. Base hit scores him. Pirates score one in the bottom half. Lose by one run.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of frustrating guys through this offense. And I, you know, part of me, I feel bad for Hayes being the one that's picked on right now. But I just think given how they have invested in him early on, you know, he just has to be better, at least from where I'm coming from.
And he's supposedly still seeing John Nunnally, right? His personal hitting coach, basically, now, the double-A guy that the Pirates got rid of after last season.
Well, then I'm even more worried because that is the guy that fixed him last year. And maybe he needs a couple of more lessons to sneak in there. 412-928-9370 if you want to join the conversation. Fan text line is that same number, 412-928-9370. That's brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I know that is where, at the end of the show, the guys like to go to. Text in the City, one of their big segments to finish things out. We will have that before we get to 2 o'clock this afternoon, and Chris Muller takes over live from Rivers Casino. Coming up, a little fun idea that Mulsey actually threw out to me yesterday to put the ball or multiple balls in the court of our guy City Limits. We will have that coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.